T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score! Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Yelich swings and misses. Strike 3. Chatwood gets him on strikes. Tyler Chatwood ready. The lead at second by Hira. Smoke takes strike 3 call. Chatwood strikes out a pair in the opening inning. The Brewers don't score after a half. Yelich takes strike 3 call, a fastball. Now, we've been watching Yelich for 3 years with Milwaukee. We saw him with Miami before. When do you ever remember him striking out the first 3 times in a game?
Well, you just don't
worry about that too much. You know, I think whenever you start worrying about that, that's when other things creep in. The biggest thing was I was just trying to execute as many pitches as I could. Obviously, you walk out and you see the flags blown out. But, you know, I think the heat was a bigger factor. It was pretty hot and humid out there. But like I said, you just got to go out there and execute pitches and not worry about the things you can't control.
Left field. Jimenez back at the track and the wall, and it's gone for a grand slam for Jake Cave, and Eloy Jimenez is down at the wall.
Hopefully, Eloy just got the wind knocked out of him.
Eloy out there in left field walking off the contact against the wall. It looks like he's going to stay in the ballgame.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And our thanks to all the wonderful places that gave us those wonderful bites. You heard the wondrous game here on WSCR. And, of course, you got great stuff from our guy Tyler Chatwood. Wonderful, wonderful chatty. And, of course, NBC Sports Chicago, thank them as well. I'm trying not to get too worked up about some of the stuff that I didn't like over the weekend and concentrating on just having the game back and feeling good about that. Having said that, David, I think it's a legitimate kind of concern as we see the Cubs heading into Cincinnati. That's another hot spot. And what's going on with the Florida Marlins, and then you go back to last week with Juan Soto. I think there's a lot of reasons to be genuinely concerned about whether or not this season is going to work out. Now, you know, maybe it won't work out for the White Sox and the Cubs for reasons other than COVID-19, but I think that's got to be one of the major concerns here.
Yeah, well, let's look at this two different things, because I think the way the Cubs and Sox performed over the weekend is one discussion, and the other one is a bigger picture kind of look at what we expect from this Major League Baseball season in light of the news out of Philadelphia. And I think that is alarming, Mully, and I think you're exactly right to have those kind of concerns, and you feel like and you hope that, you know, this wasn't the only weekend or this, it's not going to be the start of something baseball can't finish. But the concern is there because the Marlins played yesterday and won without 4 players that had positive tests and are now, the way that we understand it, according to reports, quarantined in their Philadelphia hotel. And as we discussed earlier, that affects 4 teams. You know, the Yankees go into the same clubhouse today. The Orioles are waiting on the Marlins down in Miami today, and they're expected the Marlins fly into town for their home opener, and then you have the Orioles as well. And so this is something that nobody saw coming because the Marlins were one of 13 teams that didn't have a positive test through the summer camp when baseball's, you know, was at a 0.1% rate and they only had 29 out of 2,800 you know, players test positive and that things were going so well. But if you're Rob Manfred, how do you view this? If you are a medical professional, how can you, you know, what do you recommend, and how closely are you watching this? Because caution's appropriate and you can't ignore it. We'd love to sit here and talk about only baseball, but this is a reminder that this season is going to be unlike any other.
Yeah, it's really going to be something this season, and it already started out kind of crazy. And look, I mean, it's just a really good thing to have sports back. It really is, and I think that we're all grateful to a certain extent just to have games and to have things to talk about. But having said that, I think there are legitimate concerns about how this is going to go down and what's going to happen. And, you know, I really enjoyed just the concept of having baseball back. But when you start looking at the practicality of it, you start looking at different ways that you've got to be looking at this and the way you have to be concerned about it. It's also, I mean, let's be honest, it's truly bizarre. It's just a really strange series of things going on in the world and in our country. And I don't think there's anything wrong with kind of looking at it and raising an eyebrow a little bit.
Well, it does raise an eyebrow because it raises questions. And there are definitely ethical concerns, and there are moral decisions being made here and judgments that are fair. And there was a story on the front page of the Chicago Tribune on Sunday. That's a pretty, you know, valuable real estate to address these kind of things that we're talking about, is that the optics of baseball having access to the tests that they have access to in an age where you look around the country and there are all sorts of hot spots and the numbers are rising in states where they're playing Major League Baseball. And Molly, in the local context, here we are now, the Cubs, you know, they're going to Cincinnati for 4 days.
Right.
4 days. And Hamilton County has been issued a red alert, which is the second highest level you can have in the state of Ohio. And Matt Davidson and Moustakas, they're a couple Reds players, two of the three, I think, that have, you know, been identified as having positive tests. So if you are Anthony Rizzo, as he expressed, and Wilson Contreras said he's bringing his own sheets, you're walking into that environment with a lot of apprehension, with a lot of anxiety that has nothing to do with how you're going to hit the fastball, you know, or how you're going to play in the field or your focus on the field. So these are things that they're all part of the new normal, which unfortunately we're going to have to deal with each and every day.
And it should be some fun too to figure out how the Cubs look against the Reds. For just from a strictly baseball standpoint, the Reds have been one of these teams that people are all excited about, and I think that the Cubs are a team that everyone's excited about after the opening weekend series win. Let's get to the phone lines. A lot of people want to check in. We'll start with Matt. He's in River North. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Matt.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. You know, here's the thing with Lopez, what I took out of it. I watched post-game. His velocity was down. I think the kid's hurt. I mean, he was throwing 93, you know, tops. He usually is 96, 97. Something's wrong with him. The other thing is, I was listening to Dan Plesac on MLB Network. He says the Kopech loss is crippling to the White Sox. Because the pitching staff is not as deep as people think it is. Right. Gio is just a guy off the street right now to me. He's a guy, you know, used to throw 96. He's throwing 89. He's been on three different teams in 3 years. That doesn't happen to quality lefties. He won't be in baseball next year. If he wasn't lefty, he wouldn't be in baseball right now.
Well, there's a lot of guys you could say that about. It's you know, I mean, I'm not going to – again, that's a really good team. And he came in kind of unexpected. Did not expect to be coming in at that point. So I'm not going to sit here and get worked up about him. I think – there are more important things for me to worry about, quite frankly, than whether he's going to be good at baseball. I think he's got a track record, and, you know, the guy finally threw a pitch for the White Sox. I'm just going to be happy about that.
Finally in a Sox uniform, Molly. I'm trying to find that spot between the obvious disappointment that I think that you saw in the lack of pitching depth and consistency, with kind of not overreacting to the point where you don't want to think you overestimated this team and its ability to get to the postseason. So I think that is kind of where you want to be. You can't be satisfied with anything that you saw over the weekend, with the exception of maybe the offensive kind of firepower that you knew that they had. but they did not pitch, and they need to pitch it much better. And that almost goes without saying after the performance against the Twins team that is loaded.
Kevin is in Palatine. Morning, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think another positive that wasn't mentioned yet was Ian Happ this weekend. I thought his at-bats were outstanding. He made a couple great plays in the field. But I also wanted to mention Wilson Contreras because literally ad nauseum we heard all winter about the preparation and the framing and everything of the great Yasmani Grandal. Well, he caught two games this weekend, and he got his freaking doors blown off. And both of the Cubs pitchers that pitched great gave all the credit to Contreras for his game plan, his framing, everything. So we do have two good catchers in town, and, you know, maybe our heads were out a little over our skis, David, with the nine quality starters on the Sox. Maybe just pull back a tad. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kevin. Molly, let me ask you this. So he mentioned two good catchers in town. What about James McCann, the third? Well, were you surprised that he caught Keuchel on Saturday?
Yes, I was surprised. And you know, I know they were college teammates, but Keuchel said that one of the reasons he came here was because of Yasmani Grandal. I'm with Kevin. You know, Rick Renteria, I mean, look, I understand. I heard what he said about it. The idea was they got all these games in a row, and now you don't have to worry about keeping Yaz in every game. This was a great opportunity. And guess what? McCann played great. But I think if you watched Grandal kind of stealing some strikeouts, you understand that he's real good at framing pitches. And as much as we like Wilson Contreras and his bat in the lineup every day, that's a weakness for him, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. It really is the only thing that you look at and you say, well, that's something he can't do. And it's a big thing.
It is a big thing. If he hits 451-foot home runs, people will care less about that thing. But you're right. You're exactly right to kind of point that out. My question about McCann is more like, I was surprised as well. Where's this headed? Because he did catch Keuchel, and Keuchel was outstanding, and they did reference their relationship, and it did reference that rapport that they share and the chemistries. But they only play 60. And if Keuchel gets 10 to 12 starts, are you City Grandal those games? Is he going to be your DH? Can he play the – where's this headed?
Yeah, I think it's headed for someone having to tell Rick, hey, you know, don't do that, okay? Because we really need that guy, and we're going to need him. We paid him a lot of money, and we need him for the season. So I don't think it's heading where people might think it's heading, quite frankly.
And McCann hit a home run. I mean, he was productive, and he is an all-star in his own right, but
yes,
he's not Yasmani Grandal, and he wasn't brought here, you know, with the same expectations.
Right, and I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing that out. I'm, you know, look, this is the reality of life, and this is how things work. And, I mean, my God, how can you get worked up about something like that? I don't think it's a fair method of looking at it. I think Grandal is pretty damn good, frankly, and that doesn't mean that Wilson isn't, right? It just means that, you know, one guy's been to the playoffs for five consecutive years. I mean, it says something.
Wilson's on fire though offensively. He kind of carried that over his strong summer camp into this weekend, and it was fun to see him do that. It was also fun to see him talk about his brother down in Atlanta with the Braves making his debut, and Wilson Contreras saying that his brother's going to be even better than him. That's pretty cool to have a couple brothers in the same league and doing the same kind of things for their team.
I would say that the White Sox need to make a phone call to NBC Sports Chicago and let them know, hey, whatever you do, if we're giving up a ton of runs in a game and getting our brains batted in, don't show a commercial that features Fernando Tatis Jr. That's going to get on some people's radar. Just shh, be quiet about that one.
Well, if that was your biggest complaint.
Biggest takeaway, but I mean, my God, you got Rizzo on the Marquee Channel driving around in a BMW. Good commercial. And then you got another BMW commercial with Fernando Tatis Jr. Run that in a different market.
there were some other things part of the telecast that kind of triggered me in a different way, not just the commercials. But your point is well taken.
John is in Rolling Meadows. Good morning, John.
Hey, John.
Hey guys. Two things real quick. First of all, I've said all along, this is a dress rehearsal for this White Sox team. Get the jitters out of your system this year. Get the airs out of your system. Anderson, him and his airs at shortstop, he's enough to make me want to puke sometimes. Offense, you know, they might need to go out and get a third starter. I definitely feel they need to go out and get a left fielder and put Jimenez in the DH role next year. As far as the Cubs go, get Chris out of that leadoff spot. He doesn't belong there. Number two, during the winter, if you got any money, get a leadoff guy that can lead off for you, and you don't have to keep playing with the lineup then like Ross doesn't want to do to begin with. Your pitching's going to be fine, but your leadoff spot's been the weak spot in this team for years. Straighten it out.
Thanks, John. I'm going to need more than an 0-11 start by Chris Bryant to change my mind about him in the leadoff position. He, for this team, this roster, this season, he makes the most sense there.
How long did that take, the leadoff concerns, right?
What time is it?
That was pretty quick.
They did win 9-1 yesterday, right?
I just
so we're all on track here. Okay.
Oh, man. Who makes more sense anyway? What's your alternative, really?
I saw stories in Atlanta that something along the lines of you know, they're still hoping to bring in Chris Bryant here. Maybe they should be looking at pitching. It was something like that. But it was almost like a throwaway type thing, and I thought, like, oh, God, are we still on that story? I mean,
yeah, that's a story that's really tired and old, and
right.
the Cubs are not going to be doing that. And if they continue to look as sharp as they did in the first weekend, they will have no reason to be unloading anything near the trade deadline. They will be maybe loading up rather than getting rid of people.
Yeah, here's hoping. All right, 312-644-6767. I want to touch on something that David mentioned, some of the other concerns. I want to talk about the broadcast. I want to talk about how weird it was to watch the Cubs on Fox. And what are they doing? I mean, what was that? That was really weird. Let's get into that a little bit when we come back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Half swings, drives one in the air to left field, pretty well hit. Back goes Yelich. Near the wall, it's got a chance. Gone. Ian Happ, an opposite field home run. And the Cubs have opened up an 8-1 lead here in the eighth inning.
That great clip of the week from Pat Hughes is presented by Great Clips. Great haircuts at Great Clips. It's going to be great.
You know, they're going to continue to get better. You saw it today. Great at bats, really out there, turn over to the next guy, willing to take their walks, using off fields. Yeah, the offense looked really strong today. Guys continue to work, get better. Great day offensively.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of David Ross. He is the manager of the Chicago Cubs, and it's always good to hear from Rossi. And boy, we've got four straight here on the score of the Cubs in Cincinnati, and those games will be starting at the preview. Everything else starts at 4:40. Early games for the Chicago Cubs, and stay in the hotel, guys. Just kind of hang out at the hotel.
And that's where the real challenge begins. But on the field, the offense was really disciplined at the plate. They had some really strong at-bats. They got the power that you would hope for from Happ, who had a really strong weekend, and Anthony Rizzo was good, Wilson Contreras. I thought Nico Hoerner really impressive at the plate. He started two of the three games. Mully, now Chris Bryant, he had some nice at-bats for me. He took a lot of pitches. He didn't have the production that I think people want at the top of the order, but I think we have learned we can be patient with the Chris Bryant. But top to bottom, you know, besides the starting pitching, which was outstanding, the Cubs have to feel very good about their offensive approach at the plate.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that, you know, there were a lot of guys that had had a nice series. And when you start adding up numbers and looking at how some of their players are performing, you got to feel great about where the Cubs are at right now.
I think the virtual fans gave them a standing ovation, and that was really well
that
deserved.
That drove me insane. I mean, I lost grip with reality. It was so surreal. What in the name of God was the point of that? And you know, they were like kind of joking about it. They thought it was funny when they hit a home run and the crowd was there, and then they showed it again and the crowd was gone. What are you doing? I mean, I get the pumped-in crowd noise, and I get the idea that you got two teams that when these two teams get together, they don't like each other. You know, socially distanced fighting and all that. I understand the pumped-in music. I do not understand for the life of me why you would alter the broadcast to include people in the stands. And the surreal bit was, so you there are actually people in the rooftops. So you'd have a shot of the rooftop, and then they'd show the fake crowd with the real rooftop. It was like, what? Wait a minute. Like, I just was, I started, you know, I started seeing shadows and turning my head quickly, and I nearly gave myself whiplash. I mean, what the hell are they thinking?
Along with the glowing puck, it'll go down as one of the dumbest ideas that Fox Sports has ever had, because it just was distracting and it was unnecessary. And everybody who watches baseball over the weekend, number one, understood the reality that you're playing without fans, and it's very strange to see an empty ballpark and your favorite team, you know, playing in that empty ballpark. But we all get it. So don't try to make it more kind of unusual. It was somewhat absurd. And I agree with you. It just, the more that they sort of poked fun at it, the worse it seemed.
Yeah. I mean, they recognize how stupid it was. And then they're talking about it. And then if I'm the guy that came up with that, I'd be like, Hey, stifle yourself, Edith. What are you doing?
This is what Wrigley Field looks like in the current state. Social distancing, no fans. Oh, look at this. Just like that, fans are packing the stands. We can change the jerseys of the fans. We can give them some emotion. Listen, it's not going to look or sound like what you're used to. We're not fooling you. This is just to make it a little bit more normal once in a while. Embrace the weird is what I say about this 2020 season.
I guess. Okay.
He's all right. It's not his fault.
But Adam Amin's great.
Yeah,
he did a nice job.
I thought he did well. But why were there red jerseys? It's just the whole thing was weird.
I thought there was a lot more red than you would want at a Cubs game from a Cub crowd.
I've never seen that many red. Maybe so, against the Cardinals? Where did they get that shot?
That was pretty bad in terms of execution. I didn't mind the crowd noise being pumped in, Mully. I think that, number one, you understood why they want that, sort of the ambiance, maybe create an atmosphere. And I also understood, while not necessarily endorsing, but I understood why they turned it up yesterday, because you could hear the teams chirping in the dugouts, and that created somewhat of the tension that you referred to. So I'm okay with that aspect of it. So I guess if I had to vote, understand the crowd noise, that's fine, even though it's artificial. But the virtual fans in the stands for the TV purposes, no. I'm no way.
What'd you think of the cutouts, right? So I'm watching the game. And I stayed with it despite the horrors of the opening part of the game, and they're just way down, and I'm sitting there. And it occurred to me that I was watching the game like AJ in the scout seats. I was just looking off into the distance. And two of the three games I watched that way. And then I'm like sitting there and I'm just like, God, I wonder what he really was. There a fight that day? Like, what was he looking at? Like, I got like I started
pondering,
being more concerned with what could they do a shot? Like, what exactly was he looking at that kind of captured his imagination of far off? Do I know that guy? Like, I found myself bouncing around the head of cardboard AJ, and I thought, God, I'm really, really kind of losing my grip here.
The cutouts were creative, and I don't know that I would want that every game, but I do appreciate what they did the first weekend and the cause that it helped and all those things.
Sure.
I just don't think there were enough cardboard cutouts of people looking at their phones if they wanted to make it actually accurate to your typical baseball crowd. You know, there were too many people paying attention, riveted by the action on the field.
And no one could move their arms, right? I mean, shouldn't one guy be stretching out or something? Or, I mean, if you want to be realistic.
Hot dog! Know. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that would be perfect. Like waving at a vendor.
Yeah.
Even if AJ staring off had been waving at a vendor, that would be fine. He's sections over. Yeah.
Yeah, where are the cardboard vendors at? So that was, you know, teams are going to try to do things to kind of, you know, adjust or adapt to this weird season that is before us. I also think, Mully, over the weekend, we can't go without, if we're talking about the presentation of the game, Marquee was their first weekend, and I was you know, excited to turn on the Cubs for the first time in my experience with the Marquee Sports Network. A lot of people in the same boat. So we saw Len and JD very familiar on Friday and Sunday. The one thing I have to say that stood out was, on Friday, I got the suit, the jacket and tie. I did. People, you know, dress up for opening day. You put on a suit and a tie and you go to work. I didn't get it on Sunday. I know that's an edict from Mike McCarthy and Marquee Sports, but they just looked a little bit, it looked unnatural and comfortable. Maybe it's just because we're not used to seeing them dress up like that, but that's going to be the case apparently. I just don't know if it's necessary.
Well, my God, it was like 106 degrees or something in Chicago.
93.
Yeah, it felt like 106. And
yeah.
Every time they cut to them, I thought, that must feel really uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Like, can't you just, you know, I mean, I get it. You don't have to wear jeans and a T-shirt, but good God, like, can't they just wear a Marquee shirt, a short-sleeve shirt? It's baseball, and it's hot out.
I mean, they look dapper and nothing about
the way
that
they... Do they have to dress that way on the road games?
I believe that if I understand correctly, that was an edict. And because of, I think that the stations out east do that. I think maybe the other stations that Mike McCarthy was involved with. So it is something that is part of the dress code. So I think it will continue. It's a baseball game.
Yeah, there are too many people making fun of guys in suits at the crowd to, you know what I mean, getting off work and rushing out to Wrigley, and the idea that you're doing that to your broadcasters is not, I mean, lighten up a little. I don't know. We are in Chicago. It is the Midwest. It's very steamy, very difficult, I think, at different points. I don't know.
And these are guys who we are already, as an audience, as a baseball audience, the Cubs audience, comfortable with. These aren't guys you're introducing in a way that they have to establish any sort of credibility by dressing the part, if that's the part in the way you want them to dress. I just think that you go to a baseball game, you want to be comfortable, and you want to sound comfortable, and you don't want to have people think about how uncomfortable that looks when you pan to them and they're in the booth and like, oh, God, you know, oh, loosen your tie a little bit, man. It's 95 degrees outside.
312-644-6767. Tony is in Wonder Lake, and he's got an idea. Morning, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? You know, to expand on the whole, you know, cutouts with the vendors and this and that, how about if you pipe in some hecklers? You know, because you're always going to have guys that are either bum-rapping the umpire or bum-rapping the opposing team. And did you happen to catch the cutout behind the umpire at Guaranteed Rate? Guy is either mocking Stephen Hawking, he's about to throw up because of a product on the field, or he's about to fall asleep. So that would be indicative of your normal baseball fan in a suit. Thanks, guys. Have a great morning.
Thanks, Tony. Yeah, I don't know about the heckling. That's kind of a clever. I do think Ryan Braun got booed though over the weekend from people on the rooftop. They could hear him being booed, so that was audible at least.
The great thing about heckling sometimes is when it's one distinct voice that you actually hear for some reason, and they say something funny. That would be fine if you could do like a best of, you know. But, I don't think that's the point of the whole.
Molly, you'll remember Derek Holland from the White Sox, right? Sure, you remember the former, the lefty. He's now with the Pirates. And
Dutch oven.
Zach came up with this nugget yesterday during the radio broadcast of the game that he was ejected for heckling the umpire because social distancing, he was sitting in the stands at the game where they were play, and he was ejected while sitting in the left field bleachers. Before he's even pitched for the Pirates, he's been ejected from a game.
I'd love to know what he said.
It was in St. Louis, so they were, you know, on the road.
Oh,
and
they always listening. I'm all for it. The best thing I saw was, did you see, you know, Chris Kompka is always coming up with stuff, and he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. On the Sox broadcast, they showed the home run from Louis Robert, right? The lone highlight maybe from yesterday. Louis Robert got his first career home run. He got his first career home run on the same day as Yoan Moncada 3 years earlier. What a weird little thing to dig up, right? Like, was it,
that is
July 26th yesterday, and that was the same day 3 years ago that Yoan Moncada got his first home run. Totally different situation, but how about that?
Well, why wasn't Moncada in the lineup yesterday?
That's a really good question.
On the anniversary.
And here's the other thing, whether it's Yaz or whether it's Moncada, if you're having fun with lineup, you're scaring me. Stop scaring me. All right, We got John Heyman next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider, WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast, at John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to our guy, John Heyman. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning, John.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, and really enjoyed an opening weekend of baseball, even if everything didn't go as wondrously as we had maybe hoped. But curious, when you see the kind of contrary tweets from a guy like Verlander, first we hear, uh-oh, that's it, he's done, he's going to need Tommy John out for the year, and then he tweets, I want to go for a walk, or whatever way he termed it, and it's just a forearm strain, and Dusty says, oh, you know, we're shutting him down, but he'll be back. What is the truth of it? Do we have any – no one's talking to anybody anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, they are shutting him down for 2 weeks, and this is a rather short season, as you know. It's only 10 weeks, and so you shut someone down as a pitcher for 2 weeks. It's going to probably take him 2 more weeks to ramp up, even if he's good after those 2 weeks. So – you know, at the very least, we're going to see half the season gone. You know, forearm strain is very concerning also. So, you know, at this point, I would say there's a decent chance that he won't be back. To say that he definitely won't be back, maybe that was an overstatement. But, look, he had an MRI, so it was very concerning situation. They didn't really say what the MRI said. They just said he has a forearm strain. So that's concerning. You know, I think it looks bad for Verlander. I'm not going to say he's out for the year, as was reported, but I would say there's a good chance of it.
John, the most alarming headline this morning involves the Miami Marlins, who's had 4 players reportedly test positive in Philadelphia, and they decided not to travel back to Miami last night, even with their home opener today. Where is this headed? How involved will Major League Baseball become in terms of like stepping in and looking at the schedule? Because a lot of people in the health community might say four cases represents an outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, four cases is very, very concerning. There's no question about that, even worrisome. The players were all tested. The other players were tested. So there could be more players. I mean, obviously, if you have four players who are positive, you know, in one team, they're trying to stay socially distant. But as Don Mattingly had said the day before, the protocols need a little work. And so, you know, I think they had a rain delay at one point, so they were all in the clubhouse together. You know, we don't know whether it was the travel or the fact that Miami is a hot spot. They left last Tuesday from Miami, went to Atlanta to play some exhibition games, then up to Philly. So you're not sure exactly when they all got it, but they're all being tested. I think hopefully the Phillies players are being tested. Both Ramirez and Cooper were standing on first base day before yesterday, so hopefully Rhys Hoskins, Philly's first baseman, is tested. This is quite worrisome. You know, if it's no more, if it's only four, I shouldn't say only, but if it's four with the Marlins, you know, they're going to keep going and everything will they'll keep playing. But, you know, we're going to see at this point. It would be a little bit surprising if no more tested positive out of the group, probably.
And I think, John, that is what's really disconcerting. You know, you look at what happened with Juan Soto and the timeline of that diagnosis, and then you look at these guys. I mean, the Cubs are heading to Cincinnati. There's some problems there. They got a four-game set there, and the Cubs have done a really good job being one of the few teams that doesn't have any cases among players, and yet here they go off on a four-game road trip. We have no idea what's going to happen, you know, with all these teams.
Absolutely. I mean, if they're in a bubble, that may be one thing. We don't know if that's going to work either, but that was the original thought, to do the bubble. But, of course, it was in Arizona. Now, they had an outbreak, and they only have one stadium that's indoors, and it's 100 degrees in Arizona. So I understand why they did it this way, but, you know, I think the travel is an issue. They obviously don't fly commercial anymore, but to be in hotels and to travel to the ballpark, it's not easy. It's amazing. Yeah, the Cubs are the only team with no positives at this point, and they've had probably close to 1,000 tests. It's pretty amazing to have no positives at all. So great for them. You're right about Cincinnati. We know Davidson is positive. Matt Davidson, former White Sox with the Reds, and Senzel and Moustakas didn't report to the ballpark, I believe. So you can read into what you want. They don't announce all of them, but they were smart not to. They woke up sick and didn't report to the park. That was probably smart, but you know, I don't know whether that's an outbreak. I don't know what counts as an outbreak, but certainly there's an issue going on in Cincinnati. So this is going to be the hard part, and you know, we've hit a little bit of a hurdle here. It's great we have baseball back, but the Marlins situation and the Reds situation, to a lesser degree, very concerning.
Yeah, I guess we have to enjoy it while it lasts, John. And back on the field, when you look at Sunday, according to stats, it was the first time in Major League Baseball history that every team played a game. All 30 teams were active, and no starter went at least seven innings, and there was a lot of maybe six-inning efforts. We saw that with the Cubs and Tyler Chatwood, very sharp. Do you expect that to continue? Because, you know, obviously the complete games have been few and far between anyway in recent years. We saw one from Kyle Hendricks, a gem on Friday night. But does this illustrate to you just how much care they're taking with the arms of these guys?
Yeah, they definitely need to do that. The spring training was truncated to 3 weeks. It was a second spring training, but basically it's still just a spring training. And, you know, there's a few superhumans like DeGrom and Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole was rained out after five innings, but there are certain pitchers that can do it. Kyle Hendricks obviously was quite ready. I mean, he's an amazing job by him, but with the deep staffs too, I mean, some teams have 16, I think even 17 pitchers. You know, I think the managers are more apt to pull the pitchers, but very few of them can go more than six innings at this point.
John, since the season began, we've seen, we mentioned Verlander, Clayton Kershaw, Corey Kluber, Strasburg. When you start looking at injuries to pitchers, does it have anything to do with the abbreviated spring training, summer camp, whatever? We saw the White Sox, Ronaldo Lopez leave with a tight shoulder or wounded pride or whatever the diagnosis was. What do you make?
I like the way you threw that in there.
I threw that in. What do you make about these injuries?
I mean, I think we do have a number of pitching injuries the first week. I don't know that the number is anything out of the ordinary. Certainly the names have been big with Verlander and Strasburg and some of the others, but we'll have to see. We'll have to have more of a sample size than this to know for sure. Strasburg's thing doesn't seem too bad. Kershaw, I think, is going to throw a bullpen, so I'm not sure that his thing is too bad. Verlander's thing is obviously very concerning there. Kluberg had some arm injuries already when they acquired him, which is why they got him for a song. So that it can't be shocking. It's probably too early to tell, but I think people worried when they had a three-week spring training that things could happen. But it's not that the pitchers are being pressed. Lopez went an inning. Kluber went an inning. Verlander stayed on the mound. I guess he was feeling something, but he's a tough guy, and he stayed on the mound for six innings. That was his choice. That one is a bit concerning, even if he's hopeful that he pitches again this year. The short season and an elbow, not too sure about that one.
John, I have to ask you what you thought about the Royals beating the Indians in extra innings without getting a hit. They put the runner on second. He gets bunted over to third. He scores on a sacrifice fly. And I think that the runner was thrown out stealing, so they actually won a game without an official at bat in that inning.
Yep.
And they walk off and they beat the Indians. Not exactly how it was drawn up, but I guess that's part of this new normal.
Yes, I didn't like this rule, but I understood it because they don't want to have too long the games that are too go on too long. I got it for this year, but you know what? It certainly has made things exciting. The grand slam by Olsen, the Mets and the Braves had an interesting one. It doesn't bother me that a team can win without a hit or even an at bat. Yeah, they had a sac bunt, they had a sac fly. I mean, there were no at bats, but you know that's baseball and. It's the new normal baseball, so it doesn't bother me. I don't mind that rule. There were certain things I hated going in, like the cutouts in the stands. I thought it was idiotic, but now I'm looking for people that I know. So my daughter, who's 13, loves it, and it's okay. I can live with it. I see four or five people I know with the Dodger games. I haven't found anybody else, but I think the dogs are funny too. The rules are not what's bothering me. The concern for me is the COVID situation, and hopefully Miami in particular and Cincinnati will improve. But I'm a little worried about Miami right now.
All righty, John. Thank you. We'll let you go. Right, thanks a ton.
Great talking to you guys. See you later.
That's our guy, John Heyman. Always a joy to talk to him, and he's absolutely right. I mean, it's great to have baseball back, and it's tons of fun, but when you look at a team like Miami and what's going on there, and you see what's happening with in Cincinnati and the Cubs heading there, it's disconcerting, man. I mean, if you're not worried about it, then you're not paying attention.
Cubs should be going into Cincinnati with momentum, feeling very positive, with a lot of enthusiasm. And now I think it's a trip filled with anxiety because of what's going on in Hamilton County, and you can't escape it. You can't get away from it, Mully. You just have to deal with it one day at a time.
Absolutely. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.